Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Thank you, God, for new horizons and new opportunities. Thank you for this day of Pentecost. As most of you know, and I will tell our visitors, we're doing a sermon series on the different aspects of the Zia symbol, the sacred symbol of the Zia people, Pueblo people, that encompasses time, space, place, and eternity, all around a circle that never ends, that represents the sun, that is the light of all our lives. So today, the series is taking us on a new adventure as we look at the term West. West has great significance for us, doesn't it? Because after all, we live in the West. We feel the lure of the West, the wide open spaces, the possibilities just over the next mountain, the challenge of crossing the desert, the wonder of its diverse life forms. To American minds, the West stands for freedom and individualism. Newspaper editor Horace Greeley is supposed to have said, "Go West, young man, and grow up with the country." And many people took his advice. When I drive toward Lincoln, where Billy the Kid hung out with the Regulators, I think about how much alike he and I are, transplanted New Yorkers of Irish descent who found the Western landscape intriguing and irresistible. There's a feeling I get when I look to the West, and my spirit is crying for leaving. Of course, Billy the Kid became an outlaw and an anti-hero, quite the opposite of me. But sometimes I know exactly how he felt when he looked at the same scenery that takes our breath away today. I know how his heart beat with excitement, and I know he thought, as I often do, West. And that one word says it all. For the Zia Pueblo people, West is a sign of hope. Now, West can also be scary because we don't know what lurks out there in the canyons and arroyos, scorpions and rattlesnakes. But at least we're willing to go and see what's out there. We don't know what lies ahead of us in the next few months, and that is plenty scary too. When I was studying today's scripture, I began to wonder, am I doing us all a disservice? I preach so often on the hope and peace that Jesus promises, yet here in Luke, Jesus plainly says, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." These are stark and startling words to hear from the one we celebrate as the Prince of Peace. Wasn't that why he was born? Wasn't that his purpose for coming to this planet, to bring peace? It's easy to preach the peaceful, pleasant Jesus. It's not so easy to read unsettling words like these and try to reconcile them with the Jesus we prefer. Am I reading him wrong? Am I ignoring his warning signs? Maybe I need to preach and teach more about what lies ahead of us, because it's like the West, unknown and scary. Threats of violence and retaliation, protests and pitfalls. We do see divisions in our country, in our world these days. Jesus understood people would be divided about him, and not just for or against him. To follow Jesus back in the day was to question the religious and economic and political status quo, to split from old ways of thinking and embrace new ways of thinking and being and serving. Back in the day, often we find this to be true for us today. Even among Christians, we can read the same Bible scripture and come to radically different conclusions about its meaning. For instance, I read the scripture passages that say, love your neighbor with no stipulations as to just who one's neighbor is. The passages that say, welcome the stranger and love one another even as I have loved you. And I believe them and I want to act on them to demonstrate the kindness and openness and acceptance that I believe Jesus stood for. And yet others read those same exact passages and somehow induce that they tell them they can be exclusive, abusive, and obtrusive. Jesus said, feed the poor, some say. So we literally feed the poor. We give them food. No, others say, he meant feed them on the word of God. They can get food someplace else. We're not supposed to feed them literally, only spiritually. We shout across the abyss at one another. That's not what Jesus meant. And we believe we are right and they are wrong. This gulf is growing bigger and bigger every day, and by November, it will be an impassable chasm. There are a few attempts to reach out to those who think differently than we do, but all these efforts just seem to devolve into accusations, curses, and a firmer planting of one's feet on the hill one chooses to die on. I don't think Jesus wants to make us fight each other and be so very divided, but he saw the inevitability because we are human and we act like it. What will make us stop? What's going to bring us together despite our different opinions and our resistance? What will unite us? For Jesus, the world needs to be set afire to have the old and dilapidated burned away so that the new and pristine can arise. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze, he said. This is an appropriate phrase to contemplate on the day of Pentecost. The fire of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus meant. He so longed for it to be lit. However, the Spirit could not be manifested until after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. The fire could not burn just then because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. It's not that he wanted to die, but he knew the Spirit was exactly what people needed then and even more so now. The early disciples needed the fire that cleansed their minds and emboldened them and fired them up to share the truth of God's love with all kinds of people. People who were different than they were, people from different and exotic places from the north, south, east, and west, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, a fire that united everyone. Yes. That's the kind of fire we need today, a fire to sear our minds and make our hearts burn and prepare a plot of fertile ground ready for Jesus to plant his seeds of peace. Am I doing us a disservice? Am I not preparing us for what lies ahead? Am I ignoring the warnings about the weather? There are sounding bells and dire knells of catastrophe looming, alarms of death and destruction, and maybe even the demise of democracy. It's not like I don't see the warning signs, and it's not like I'm not aware of what's happening, and I admit it's really scary. But the West is a land full of hope. How can I not hope? How can we not trust God to protect us and guide us? How can we prepare for the storm to come? We need to have that clarity of mind the Holy Spirit promises to give us. Watch what you read and pay attention to what you hear and analyze what you are told. Realize no one, not even me, has all the answers, and anyone who tells you they do are fooling themselves and you. Trust in the Spirit and wait on the Lord. And go west. Open yourself to new vistas and new ideas. Who was that Girl Scout leader who said, look wide, and when you think you're looking wide, look wider still? Don't have a narrow focus. Don't cling to the past. Think and reason and look west. Jesus spoke of a cloud rising in the west as a warning sign of raining weather to come. And you know what? Jesus is that cloud. Jesus is the cloud giving us a heads up for a coming rainy day. He knew the crowd listening to him took that symbol of approaching change to heart, and they prepared themselves for it. They would pull out their umbrellas or cover their windows or check on their crops. How can we prepare? Get under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit. Prepare an ark for your life and equip it with prayer and Bible reading, and let trust and faith boost and buoy it. There's a storm coming for sure, but together we can ride the storm out. However cold and dark it gets, we have the Holy Spirit to keep us warm and give us light and meaning and purpose and clarity. So maybe I'm not doing us a disservice. The West is a symbol of hope. Maybe Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but he certainly came to give us hope. Hope that God's will be done. Hope that no matter what, God's love is still our strength and source. Hope that however bad it gets, one rainy day, it will all come to the right and proper end. And the light of Christ will come to dispel the darkness and reunite us. I thank the Holy Spirit for hearing the concerns in my heart for what lies ahead. I thank the Holy Spirit for bringing me to this passage to show me, so I can show you, that even though a stormy time lies ahead of us, with the guidance of God and the justice of Jesus and in the shelter of the Holy Spirit, we will get through the storm together. We will. Let us pray. Oh, how we need to pray. Oh God, a storm is rising. We hear the rumble of far off thunder, and we see the clouds arising. Strengthen us, O God. Protect us. Keep us alert and woke, not fearful and cowering, but ready to face the perils in this world with your power and your help and your guidance. Light the fire of Pentecost in our hearts anew, and keep us safe and sheltered with you. Amen.
My doubts and fears, though.